SBS Radio.
Well, I've been invited to speak on a panel with Dr. Gregory Phillips and Puralia Jim Everett. You know, I imagine that Jane Harrison, who's organised the conference, thought that because quite a lot of Aboriginal writers write out of the baseline of Aboriginal philosophy, it would be interesting to hear what Aboriginal philosophy actually is.
We hardly, in the mainstream media and literary sections, we hardly ever hear about Aboriginal philosophy. I know it exists, like spirituality and all that. That's a very powerful part of Aboriginal culture and history, but it's not actually made available to the wider audiences.
Well, it's interesting because other Indigenous people around the world have had their philosophies documented for quite some time. You know, for example, in Africa, there's a big movement within African philosophy. The Native people in Canada, in the USA, different groups within Latin America and Mexico, even, you know, people from the Pacific and Maori people who are quite close by, have had their philosophies documented by academics, whether they're non-Indigenous or Indigenous academics. But Aboriginal people's philosophy has not been documented up until pretty recently. And I think there are very good reasons for that. One of them is that Aboriginal people were always seen to be the most primitive and the least developed people in the world. I think there was an assumption on the part of a lot of people that Aboriginal people had no philosophy, which is kind of crazy. Various anthropologists have done some work on the philosophy in different ways, some of them quite esoteric and difficult ways to grasp, but that didn't happen until really the 20th century. So it's really been a huge problem for Aboriginal people that there's been no understanding that we have this very well thought out understanding of what it means to be a human being, which is really the basis of philosophies anywhere. So in Australia, there's been this idea of the dream time or dreaming, and people misapprehend this as being just the stories that are read to children in schools or at bedtime. You know, the quaint little Aboriginal stories about how the birds got their colours and the stories that were told to Aboriginal children over millennia. But there are more complex, much more rich and important stories than those for adults. So it's one of the things that I'm engaged in doing is explaining the cultural philosophies, but it's actually got something to offer all of humanity. Certainly has a lot to offer humanity as we move further into the Anthropocene with the impacts of climate change.
Takes me back to my own origins. I'm from Central Africa, and when I discovered also the histories and the cultures and the philosophy in our own part of the world through actually readings as an adult, growing up in the schools, we didn't learn a lot, and whenever we learned it, it was through a Europeo-centric lens, and whatever would be perceived as philosophy or spirituality was depicted as sorcery or witchcraft or things like that, but
exactly. Yes, that's the same.
Not a translation.
The same kind of thing as this happened in Australia.
Yeah, not a higher degree of thinking and viewing the world.
Well, of course, you know, Africa is very much like Australia in that there were very well-developed civilizations in these places before the Europeans ever arrived. They were very well thought out and functioning societies. So, you know, for example, with Aboriginal philosophy, there's a different idea of time to the European idea that came out of a Judeo-Christian tradition, which has time on a progressive timeline. Because, you know, in the Judeo-Christian tradition, we're moving towards the second coming of Christ. So we have this idea of progress. In Aboriginal philosophy, time is, in fact, you could say it's more circular, but it's not even that. Like the past, the present, and the future coexist in Aboriginal time.
They're intertwined.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. And when I say that, the past, the present, and the future is in the minds of Aboriginal people. That is the kind of thing that they are cognizant of and they are juggling. So the past, after a couple of generations have gone before us, passed away, you know, they go into eternal time. And eternal time coexists with normal time. If you like, it runs along beside normal time. And we know it is there because there are eruptions of eternal time into normal time. And these can be read by people with the knowledge. Similarly, the future should not be so different to what we are in now. So there's a very conservative attitude, if you like, towards social change, because people were maintaining water supplies, maintaining the moisture in the earth, maintaining food sources in the environment, making sure that, you know, one woman from Pitjantjatjara land said to me once, we make sure that every season brings up the new food. Every season the land brings up the new food. So this is a maintenance. Things need to remain the way they are in order for people to be able to live into the future. So, you know, the idea amongst Indigenous people around the world is you don't do anything that is going to impact on the next seven generations. So before you bring in a change to the way you manage your environment, you have to think about what the impact is. So, of course, you know, we look at this kind of thinking now and we understand the inherent wisdom in that, because now we are living on a dying earth, because the earth has been dominated by cultures that do not have that kind of understanding or ignore it, or think it's primitive and crazy. So while Indigenous people around the world have lost the power to actually control their own lands or to provide the custodianship of their own lands, we're in a huge amount of difficulty. And the earth is really like speeding towards cataclysm and calamities, or what some people are calling shocks, one after the other.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, it's...
So this is why I'm so impressed by, and I'm so grateful to be a person who has inherited, if you like, the opportunity to be able to explore this kind of philosophy, because I actually think that it is possibly the thinking that might save us all.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.